I really like the theme of this whole light shining through thing, because Jesus is the light for me in my life, and he really brought me out of a extremely dark place that I was in. I've been in John 3:17 now for a little over 8 months. I got there February 1st. Thank you. That's my sober date, and I could not have done it without Jesus Christ. And I really want to just emphasize today on, I talked about last night to our facilitator's dad, Mr. David, on the way home, just how I don't ever want to take away from how, you know, I don't really know how to say it, just how amazing God is. He's the creator of the universe. He's this huge being that we can't even understand, but I do like to, and I don't ever want to take away from that by saying that Jesus is my best friend, but I do think that God put Jesus here to be that for us and be our comforter and be our savior. And I really, when you come in the program, it's just kind of, you're empty, you're dead, you're the walking dead. I really like the way she said that, because I had a walking dead job. I had a walking dead life. I was in walking dead relationships. And then I came here and had to feel, and I didn't want to. I'll just go ahead and start back from when I was a kid. I grew up in a really good home. My mother is a really religious woman. She loves the Lord. She always has. Both her and my dad were basketball coaches. We went to church. Me and my sister, it's just, we, everything seemed to be going fine. But then my parents got divorced. That doesn't seem like a big deal these days. But it was to me. I was 8 years old, and it really hurt me that all of a sudden my dad wasn't in my home. And so I took that to, both my parents got remarried really fast. They had kids with their new spouses, and I just kind of felt left out alone. And I felt, I mean, I was baptized as a child. I didn't really understand the love that Jesus wanted me to understand. I thought that this, I started being really scared of who God was. I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus until I got to John 3:17. But I was baptized at church camp at Camp Wildwood when I was about 14. And I do think that that was real. I think that God had a hold of me. I think that he wanted, I was getting the point, but I was still a kid. And I didn't really know how to make these adult decisions. And I was very influenced by my peers. Does anybody out here care what other people think? I mean, I was very self-conscious. I struggle with my weight. I still do. That's something that I still struggle with, my self-image. I worry all the time about, and I'm getting over it now, but it's something that I never really got over. I thought, I think that comes from my dad not being around. He was a workaholic, and we had moved from Tennessee, where we lived, back to Arkansas, so he had this new family, and I couldn't get him to come to my basketball games. I couldn't get him to, I just didn't get to spend time with him. So as the image that I had of a dad was not being around, and that definitely played a huge part in what started going on with me, trying to fill a void. There was always a void in my heart. I never felt I was good enough. I never felt I was pretty enough. I never felt I could do anything good enough for my dad to give me some attention. That's all I wanted, was some attention. We're women, of course. We need some attention. And so, of course, I started looking through relationships. I got in my first serious relationship when I was 16 with a boy from high school, and I had always vowed that I would never have sex before marriage, and of course, he promised that we'd be married eventually, so why not? So, of course, I gave myself away to him, and that relationship failed, and that was my first heartbreak, and that really played a huge toll on why I started drinking. I started heavily drinking, partying like a crazy maniac, just like I had found, when I found alcohol, I had found the answer to life. And my light slowly started dimming, and I started waking up in the mornings not knowing where I had been, who I had been with, being very promiscuous with men. I had no idea who they were. They were in college, and I was still a high school senior, and these are things that were very out of character for me, and I felt really guilty about it the next morning. But how I would deal with that guilt, I never ran back to God. I ran completely away from him, and I just kept drinking. I liked social life. I liked being the life of the party. I'm a pretty outgoing person, and all these people were showing me attention when I was drinking. So that's great. That's just how I thought life would go. And I went to, well, before I went to college, I was at a fraternity party, and I was raped by three of the members. And I put myself in that situation, but, you know, I've definitely come to terms with the fact that it wasn't my fault. But I felt really guilty about that, so I even lied about how it happened because I had put myself in that situation. I told my mom that it had happened by, like, a stranger. I just made up this crazy story and said, just so, because she knew something was going on. My mom's always been able to tell, and I can't remember exactly what verse it is in Luke, but it talks about your eyes being the lamp of your body, and my mom can look me in the eye and know something's wrong. She's very filled with the Holy Spirit, and she knows. So it's just started this huge, she knew, and I knew that my life was going in a wrong direction, but Jesus wasn't even anywhere near my mind of where I was. Just look, the world was filling me with these empty promises. The Satan is the ruler of this world, and he lies so good. He lies so good to us. Anyway, I started going after all of these things with college. I dropped out of college three times. I had a choir scholarship at Williams that I completely blew. If I'd have stayed there, I'd have graduated last year and had, you know, probably knew how to play the piano by now. But, you know, that's one thing that I do look back. I know we have regrets, and I say, oh, well, why couldn't I just, you know. But now I'm hoping that things will get better. But after that, I just fell into another relationship, and I had already been experimenting with a lot of LSD, MDMA, pills, all these crazy, but then I got addicted to pain pills. That is a terrible thing to be addicted to. It's very physically dependent. I was a waitress. That was my job, where I just existed to get money to be able to support my habit and my party lifestyle. Well, then this relationship started to end because I didn't want to. Like I said, you know, yeah, I was living this terrible lifestyle, but I was never happy. I think that was God's thumbprint on me, saying, I'm not going to make it easy for you to live this life. It's like he was always, something would go good for a little while or for a few months, and then it would just get damaged, and I would be, oh, why me? Why is this always happening to me? Why can't I just go to work, pay my bills, come home, get drunk, take pills, and be okay? That's all I want. You know, that's all I want out of my life. And the sad part is when you're there, that is all you want. You think that if that could work out, you'd be great. That would just be the greatest thing. And it is so funny now to look back because, oh my gosh, that's miserable. That is miserable. That is death. And so anyway, I left that relationship of 3 years, and I was really in love. I would always just fall so hard in love. I think I'm just a really lovable person, and Jesus puts that in us for a reason. He wants you to love somebody like that, you know. So it is, it broke my heart. And once again, I thought moving towns, by the way, would just take care of all my problems every time I had this trouble. I've moved a lot just here in the past 7 years. I lived in 8 different locations in 1 year before I came here, in one town. So it's just a lot of couch hopping. I know it sounds really terrible. But anyway, so I get to Little Rock. I moved there, started working again, moved around with family, drank all the time. But I had quit pain pills on my own, and I thought that I just had my life together. I thought that that was really what it was all about. I thought these pain pills were ruining my life, but I had quit, and I was overcoming, and I was doing great. Well, then I started dating another guy who also I put my everything into. I was like, oh, he's perfect. He just got out of rehab, and he's clean. It's great. Well, it wasn't great, and I was introduced to using meth by IV, and 7 months, I was rock bottom. I was so depressed. I was in the worst relationship I'd ever been in. It was very mentally abusive. I've never been. It was just weird. It was a weird, depressive state that I've never experienced, and I can't explain it to people. All I know is that I was dead, that I was so depressed that I didn't know what it meant to be alive anymore. And I would talk to my mom on the phone, and my mom is my angel. She would send me these, and I didn't know whether I believe in God or not at this time. I just kind of was angry. My stepdad's a preacher, and that kind of, we have a bad relationship, so that was always just, I thought maybe church was just bull crap by this time. And my mom would just send me these huge scriptures every day, and she prayed for me every day. And I'm going to cry because it makes me emotional, because she's just, she's a beautiful person. I love my mom. And anyway, one day I was getting ready for work, and I couldn't even get out of bed. I was so depressed. I hated my job. To anybody who has a waitressing job and you like it, I'm so happy for you, because I have grown to hate that work. It was great money. The money's great, but it was miserable for me by this time. And I just called my mom, and I said, I can't get out of bed. And she said, please come home. And I did. And God orchestrated me to be able to come to John 3:17. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know. I mean, I think my mom and Miss Suzanne, they had done jail ministry together, but she had seen her at, like, jury duty or something crazy. We went to Teen Challenge for a couple of days, and that didn't work out for me, and I left with a vengeance, and the guy had called my mom and said, come get your daughter. She is full of sin and wickedness, and she's going to burn in hell for all eternity. And so my mom's like, what? You know, oh, God. But God just orchestrated it for me to come to this beautiful place. And I don't know how I'm so lucky. And I always come back to that that verse in that song, Flawless, by Mercy Me. It says, could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional love, kind of love, could be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap her up in righteousness? And that's exactly what he did. I mean, it's that simple. And I just want to say that I know it's hard to understand that kind of simple concept of Christianity. It's hard. Even, you know, you can get baptized or rededicate your life and say, Jesus, I'm going to give it all to you, but then still worry and have these worries. And to me, I mean, I know I go through hard times and I worry, but it doesn't make sense to keep worrying. It doesn't make sense because he says it, right? I mean, okay, and this is what I wanted to compare to. The Samaritan woman, she is relationship after relationship, constant thirst, constant darkness, constant unhappiness, dissatisfaction. And Jesus just simply puts it, I'm what you're looking for. I'm this loving Father that you've been searching for your whole entire life. I'm this, if you come to me, you won't have to come to this well every day. That's like what she says. She's like, well, I wish you'd give me some water because I keep having to come here every day. And so I want to read out of this book that Miss Suzanne let me borrow. It's by Donald Miller. Have any of y'all ever read Blue Like Jazz? If you haven't, go read it. He's awesome. But I love the way that he puts this, and I'm just going to read this, and then I'll be done yapping, and we can sing our song, Bridget. All right, it says, and then Christ walks directly past the barriers around this woman's heart as if he had been destined to live in and warm those cold chambers. Go call your husband and come here, he says to her. The text indicates Christ knows full well the woman has five husbands and is now living with a man to whom she is not married. The interesting nature of God's words is that they correct a misunderstanding. The woman has assumed that the living water Christ talks about was like liquid in the well, but instead Christ redirects her immediately to a thirst of different sort, the desire to be known and loved anyway. In no way does Jesus judge this woman, stand over her and condemn her, or even mention the idea of sin. Rather, he appeals to the desire of her heart, pointing out the dehumanizing cycle of her life that has driven her through relationship after relationship, none of which gave her lasting fulfillment. In a sense, this woman was looking for importance and love through a man, and Jesus walks up and says, what you really need is God. What I have is living water, and if you drink out of it, you will never thirst again. It is interesting to me that he offers himself to the deepest need of man, not a religion, not a formula, but himself. He offers to her a relationship that is more than romantic, more than a balm for her heart. I know that a Messiah is coming, she says to Jesus. I who speak to you am he, Christ responds. And I just want everybody to, you know, I love what you said this morning about being a light, because we are really good at taking and taking and not putting anything out. And I think that I did that for such a long time that when I got to really know Jesus and what he wanted for my life, it is so fulfilling to find the light in the darkness and live my life according to the kingdom of God. I mean, when you really think, I think about the kingdom of God all the time. I mean, if you just are mad that you stumped your toe this morning and you spilled your coffee or whatever, you're going to go to heaven. I mean, these little problems don't matter. They don't matter. And that's all I really want to focus on. So, okay, Bridget, come on. Thank you for letting me share my story. Oh, and I have one more verse that I wanted to share. In John 4:39, after he did this with the woman, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And that is powerful to me. Because when I got to rehab, I had to look at myself and mirror and saw everything that I did. But God is taking that and using it so I can tell other people what he's done for me. And that's all I got.